The Sabbath, you see, it's there written with a question mark, and we'll be talking about that today. We're in Mark 2 again, verses 27 and 28, and we were there last week, and last week, remember, we looked at nitpicking Jesus, and we went into Mark 3, and we looked at how the Pharisees and the scribes, they just at previous messages and passages, and then last week's passages, we see these religious leaders that are just religiously just attacking Jesus about piddly things that man had that he had made, and but in the midst of this, where Jesus is redefining the Sabbath, and because out of anybody who has ever lived, he's the only one who can. And because he was there when it was all created, but in the same way that the Jews at this time had literally added, if you do the research and study, about roughly 1,500 different regulations onto the Sabbath, Jesus is he's condemning them, and he's also restoring the Sabbath to what he intended it to be. So the question is, what is the Sabbath today? Some would say today is the Sabbath, and there's different views that we're going to look at. We're going to be at different verses. It is important. I don't think we can continue on in the Scripture, and if you're a guest with us today, we're going chronologically through the Gospel, where we're looking at the whole life and the teachings of Jesus Christ throughout each Gospel. And we got to know what the Sabbath means. We got to know what to do with it. We are the church of God, and so we're looking at that today. It is in no way is it a comprehensive study. And last week and a week or so before, I got you out of here at 12, but we are scheduled to 12:15, and I may need all of those minutes today to get through this. Maybe not. Maybe so. Maybe a few extra. But I'm concerned about that, just as the Jews had added so many different things of what they thought about the Sabbath up to this point, that we too, in the last 2,000 years, that we have added a lot of things to what we believe the Sabbath to be. And so I am convinced that there's somebody in here that I'm going to challenge some of the traditions that you have learned for no reason, not because you read it in Scripture, just because it's always been that way. And if we are not a church that's looking to be the way we've always been, we're a church that's looking deep into the Word of God and saying, Lord, lead us and guide us to be your people today. And so as we dive into this and look at different scriptures, and hopefully today you would leave here with some sense of direction of what to do with it, with the Sabbath, and how to honor the Lord through it. And I will go ahead and tell you this, that it's going to be, the big idea is not going to be something that is just going to be clear. You can just take that and walk with it, that you're going to have to listen, you're going to have to apply, you're going to have to take some notes, you're going to have to write some things down, you're going to have to pray for it, and you're going to have to walk away and say, Lord, what does this mean for me? And some three questions that we're going to look at throughout the day, throughout the morning, not the day, throughout the morning. I know some of you are sitting there, your lunch plans, and hey, I get it. I have a big family, and so when we get the opportunity to go out to eat after the service, we know what it means to wait for 45 minutes to an hour to get a seat, but may we never, ever put the Lord on hold because of we want a place to sit. You can have my seat. You might have to wait 45 minutes for it, but you can. But again, three questions. What is the Sabbath? And then how should the Sabbath be observed in the New Covenant? And what does it mean that the Sabbath was made for man? That's what we're going to read that Jesus says here. And so let's open up in prayer, and we'll continue. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you, Lord, just for the worship this morning. And Lord, it's not that it was for me. Lord, it's for you, but it was a reminder that we're all messed up. I've been praying for us, Lord, that I'm all messed up inside, and Lord, that you are my strength. You are my Lord. You are my way, and regardless of how good or bad a day might be, Lord, you love me, and you died for me, and your grace is poured out for me and for each one of us in this room. And Lord, I pray that as we dig into this controversial topic for some, Lord, that you would open our minds and our hearts, Lord, not to what we want, but Lord, to what is true according to your word. Not what I may think or what I may say, but Lord, for that which we discover in the pages of your holy scripture. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would be poured out abundantly upon us, not just in this moment, but Lord, for this moment and for this whole week. Lord, that you would change our lives, and may our lives be more like the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray this in that name, your Son, Jesus. Amen. All right, so the first question, what is the Sabbath? Well, essentially, to put it simply, it's a day that means essentially rest on the seventh day. And if you know the seventh day, and even since this was put into place, the Romans have messed with the calendars, others have messed with the calendars, and essentially the seventh day is the Saturday. And for us, today is a sign day. This is the first day. And so, but Sabbath here means the seventh day of the week, and we're gonna keep your pen there, you can't take notes if you take your pen there. Put something. We're coming back to Mark 2. I haven't even read Mark 2 yet, have I? And let's read Mark 2. And Mark 2, verse 27 through 28. I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of it here. So Jesus said to them, and it's to them that were nitpicking him here, the Pharisees and all. He says, Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even on the Sabbath. So the issue here is the Sabbath. If you remember when we looked at it last week, they were frustrated because Jesus was walking. This was a Saturday. It was on the seventh day of the week, and as they're walking to the synagogue, and we know that they were doing that because it says in that passage we read in Matthew 12 that immediately after they walked into the synagogue and they healed the man, and they were looking for a way to kill Jesus because he was doing things that were good on the Sabbath. But in this particular event, he had yet to go into the synagogue, and his disciples were walking by a grain field. And they were picking heads of grain, and they were eating the heads of grain as they walked. And they're one of the rules is you can't harvest on the day. They no way were they harvesting the field. They're just walking through, and as we might be walking through and picking up a blackberry or a blueberry or whatever, and they were eating those. And so they bring this conviction against Jesus, and he responds in that way. But again, going back to the question, what is the Sabbath? It essentially means the seventh day. It is a Saturday. It is a day of rest, and we see it first established in Genesis 2, and verses 1 through 3. You can follow me there, or the verses will be on the board. But in Genesis 2, 1 through 3, this is before Moses, before anything. God had created the world. And if you are a biology student or a science buff, science ought to be worship for you. And we see all so much science just in verses or in chapter 1 where God created everything. He created it perfectly to sustain life for those he wanted a relationship with, which was man, and which he created on the sixth day. And then verse 2, 1 through 3, it says, thus the heavens and the earth were completed, and all their hosts by the seventh day. God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day in all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. So we see the first example was that of the Creator, where he made everything. He made it in 6 days. He said it was good, and then he established a day of rest. And then we see, if we forward several centuries later on, and where Genesis has happened, and Joseph has happened, Abraham has happened, Noah has happened, and so we're talking about a super long time. And then the people had been taken into captivity. That was a several centuries by itself. And then we see God raises up Moses, and he rescues the people. And then they're going around in the desert. And then God gives them the Ten Commandments. And we find one of the commandments there in Exodus 20. Exodus 20, we're going to look at verses 8 through 11. It's going to be on the board. And it says here, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. And in it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male or your female servant. And listen to this, or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you, that would be a guest. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And so we see God established it in the beginning. Then here, as he is creating a people for himself, Israel, he establishes the seventh day as a day of rest and being holy. It was a part of their Ten Commandments, and it was a part of the law. And it was a serious offense. We've seen, we don't have time, we're not going to turn there, but Numbers 15 is a story about a man on the Sabbath. He's out collecting wood. And he is collecting wood, and it's such a serious offense for them to break the Sabbath that this man was stoned to death for collecting wood on the Sabbath. So it was a pretty strict thing. And then, it was a holy day. It was a day that was supposed to be joyous. It was a day that was supposed to be for spiritual refreshment, a day that was supposed to be reverent worship. It was an opportunity, and listen to this. This is interesting. It's an opportunity to imitate our Creator. And weren't we made in his image? And so here he has established something, and he's saying, hey, I've shown you the way, I've given you the pattern, and I want you to be like me. But we know how things went for centuries, and we know how the people abused it, and they added different things to it. And so it brings us all the way back to Mark 2 again. That's how the Sabbath, what the Sabbath is, how it was established. And you know, if I'm skipping back up to Mark 2, there's a lot more to read. And so that's it in a nutshell. But Jesus here, he is confronted by the Pharisees. And it's not that Jesus was doing a digression of the law, not that he was breaking his own law that he had put in place. Jesus was there at the creation. He was there giving the law to the people. But he is the one that knew the content and knew the intent of the law. And so he was the only one who had ever lived on this earth that had the ability to interpret it and even change it. And again, for centuries, the people here, they had added to it. Again, Mark 2, 27, Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even on the Sabbath. He had the authority to change it. And so it brings us to, so there's the Sabbath in a nutshell, a very small nutshell. And so it brings us to the next question: should the Sabbath be observed in the new covenant? What do I mean by the new covenant? If you read through Hebrews, and we're not going to read there and do this whole study today. I prepared the service for followers of Christ, for disciples who study his word each and every day. And so I trust that you either know this or that you're going to follow up with this. But if you read Hebrews 6 and Hebrews 8, you'll find how the old, or read the whole Hebrews, that's even better, where you find that the old covenant had failed. Man had done everything Jesus or God had given them, the law and different things, and essentially the law defined sin, and men could not do it. And that's why, and they broke the covenant. The old covenant was broken. It says that in the scriptures, and that God, through Jesus Christ, sent Jesus Christ because of his love to die for our sins, because the penalty of sin is death, and somebody had to pay it, and the only one that was worthy was Jesus Christ. And he came as our priest, and he came and established life, established a brand new covenant. And so in that, we have to ask, what does the Sabbath mean in the new covenant, in this age of grace, or in this church age? Well, first, we have to remember what the Sabbath means. It still means seventh day. He never changed the meaning of the Sabbath. It is still seventh day. And some sources that we can find in the first century, there's very little. And that's why this is confusing and why it's a struggle. Because we live in a new covenant time, in an age of grace, but there's not a whole lot in the scriptures of the New Testament about the Sabbath. So we tend to go and hold on to that which we find in the Old. And so we do find some writings, not in Scripture, nor are they Scripture, but in the first century, that's introducing the Lord's Day, which is the first day, which is the primary day that Christians worship. It's a Sunday. And somewhere it's unknown when it happened historically, looking into church history. It's unknown when the official shift took place where Christians, because remember, it was to the Jews first. And so the Jews, and we're going to read something here in just a moment, the Jews were trying to, the Christian Jews, those that were being changed, they were still bringing Jewish things into the Christian life. And there's some reprimands that we find in Scripture about that, where, hey, it's not about Jew, but Judaism was over, and there's a new life, new walk with Christ in this age of grace as the church. But there's around 115 or 120 AD, we find this thing about meeting on the Lord's Day. And what is and what's so significant about the Lord's Day, again, the Lord's Day being the first day of the week, is when did Jesus raise again? When was his resurrection? It was a Sunday. It was the first day. And so, I mean, it was the day that he defeated death. It was the day that he became the Lord of all, which he was already the Lord of all, but defeating death, he was even Lord of death. But he conquered death. It was the day that Christ appeared first to his disciples after his resurrection, before he ascended up into heaven. And it was also the day that the Holy Spirit was poured out during Pentecost. And so Sunday was historically a big day for those of us who are followers of Christ. Again, before I get to that, there's just, you know, the different views that this has caused over the centuries. Again, we're talking about something or trying to solve something or answer a question that has been debated over centuries. And so first, some people believe that it was a mistake to ever leave the Sabbath, and that the Sabbath is a Saturday, and that's when it's supposed to be happened. God spoke that in the Old Testament, and it's still true of us today. And some think that that the transfer of the Sabbath principle happened from the seventh day to the first day. What I mean, to where the seventh day is no longer the Sabbath, and now God has transferred that to the first day of the week. That today is actually the Sabbath. And then some people believe that in the bigger part of followers of Christ, of Christians, believe that the Sabbath was a part of the ceremonial law of the Jews, and it's no longer applicable to the church. But just to present the issues to you, to come back and to remember what was happening during this time. There's this phrase that we find throughout the New Testament of first to the Jews and then to the who? To the Gentiles. And so what does that mean is that they were taking the gospel first to the people of God, and then after that, when they went as far as they could, then they took it to the Gentiles or the non-Jews. And so two cultures were coming together. A culture that was used to live in the ceremonial law, and cultures who the Jews called barbarians. And so, they were just coming together. Let's just forget that. Let's not forget what I just said. I was about to say something else. But we're going to go into the Word of God, and that will answer what I was about to say. I was about to say some things that we're about to read. So let's look first at what does the Bible say about observing a Sabbath day. Again, the scriptures are slim when it comes to it. And so Romans 14, these are going to be up on the board. Again, you can follow me there. I encourage you to do so. I'm going to move kind of quick, and just because I want to use your time wisely, I encourage you to write them down and follow up on everything I ever say from this pulpit. 14, verses 5 and 6. Paul writes to the church at Rome. He says, one person regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord, and he who eats does so for the Lord. For he gives thanks to God, and he who eats not for the Lord, he does not eat, and gives thanks to God. And so we'll just stop there. So what's he saying here is that it really comes back to a conviction of the people. Why are you doing the Sabbath? Why are you observing the Sabbath? And are we doing it for the Lord? But again, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's move to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17 should be up on the board, and I'll read those to you. Are they up there? Yeah, they are. 2:16 says, therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon, or here it is, or a Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. So again, why are you holding on to this day? What are you doing? What's your conviction? Are you doing it for Jesus Christ? And then we'll move to Acts 15. Acts 15, and this is what I was starting to talk about, and I kind of shut myself up. But Acts 15, we're going to look specifically at verse 28 and 29, but I didn't include this up here, but I want to read from verses, and don't worry about this upstairs. I want to read from 10 and 11. This is the first church council, and we studied this together about 2 years ago when we went through the book of Acts, or I'll even back up to 8, and listen to this. What has happened is Paul has come to the church council, the first Jerusalem council, and he's saying, hey, guess what? The Holy Spirit is being poured into Gentile people too. And this is blowing their mind. They see this revival going through the barbarians, through the Gentiles, through the non-Jews. And so they're all amazed at this. But the problem is they were getting them saved, but the Holy Spirit was saving these people, these men, these families. And then they were making them to start to live like Jews. And so Paul brings this charge here, and this is still in Acts 15, just a little bit before what we're about to read. And I'm going to read from verse 8. And he says, and God who knows the heart testified to them, giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he also did to us. He's saying, hey, the Gentiles are being saved just like the Jewish people are. It's amazing. And he made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith. And so faith is bringing two cultures together. And then it says here, he says, now therefore, why do you put God to the test by placing upon the neck of the disciples a yoke which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, and in the same way as they also are. And it says they all the people kept silent, and they were listening to Barnabas and Paul as they were relating what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. So what's he saying here? He's saying, hey, the reason that Christ came is because we messed up the law. We couldn't keep it. Not that the law ever went away. We know that Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. He fulfilled every part of it. And so he's saying, hey, we couldn't do it. We failed as a Jewish people. We failed at keeping the law. But now people are getting saved through grace and through faith. And now we're making them live as Jews. He said, this ought not be. So that's the problem. That's the context. And this is what we're going to read. And it should be up on the board. This is after that they had come back and given their, I guess, their judgment based on this, because it was, again, a council, it was a committee of the church in Acts 15, verse 28 and 29. He says, for it seemed, and I think James was the leader of the church here, says, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden, then these essentials, that you abstain from things sacrificed to idols and from blood and from things strangled and from fornication. If you keep yourselves free from such things, you will do well. Then says farewell. And so this is the letter that he's written. And the point that I'm trying to make here, we see that two cultures are coming together. And the problem is, hey, we're still trying to make these other cultures live according to the law that never worked, into Judaism that never worked, and that it should be by faith and through grace in Christ Jesus. And then we see that they said, okay, we get it. We see the work that God is doing. And he said, but we want you to focus on these things. If the Sabbath was something that was supposed to be kept in the way that the law was written, then I believe that they would have mentioned it right here. And they said, hey, just don't, it's not about idols. Let's focus on Jesus Christ. And then, is there a day? And let's look at Acts 2. We're close to it from Acts 15. Is it going to be on the board? It is on the board. Good deal. And so Acts 2, and we're going to look at verses 46 through 47. And I hear some flipping there, and that's cool. But essentially, is there a day? Or since we kind of are seeing in Scripture where it is saying there's no longer a required Sabbath day, is there still a day that we're supposed to gather and worship? Well, we've looked at Hebrews 10 together before, 24 and 25. It tells us don't forsake the assembling of the church. And so we're supposed to get together so we can give encouragement, we can get encouragement, and we can make it through. So there is a day. So the Sabbath isn't gone as far as our need to rest and our need to be reverent. And I'm kind of getting ahead of myself again, giving you some of the clues. But let's go to Acts 2, verse 46 and 47. Listen to when they worshiped and when they gathered. It says, day by day, your thing, day by day is translated also as daily and every day. It says, day by day or every day, continuing from one mind and the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. So we see the Sabbath, the day where it was one day on the seventh day, a time that they gathered in the synagogues to worship the Lord. We see now the early church, they are actually worshiping every day. Now they're not necessarily resting every day, but they are worshiping, and every day has become reverent. And I just read to you during the offering time from Colossians 3, verse 16, where it tells us to in everything that we do, it should be for the Lord. So there's a transition to where not just one day is holy before the Lord, but now every day in everything that we do is holy before the Lord. And so it brings us to our last question, which is, what does it mean that Sabbath was made for man? We find that in, again, that's what Jesus said back in Mark 2. He says, and the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Remember, the Pharisees had added so much to where they had to fulfill this, not do that, you had to have a checklist and walk around with a lawyer to understand how to live according to the Jewish law. But Jesus says, but the Sabbath was made for man. And notice that Jesus never said that the Sabbath went away. He never says it never went away. But what he does is he reinforces it, and he condemns again the 1500 rules that came along with it. And it was something that was designed for rest and for worship had now become a burden to the people. And so again, Jesus, we don't ever see him abolishing it, but we see him freeing it, setting it free when it comes to the worship. And what do I mean, the Sabbath being set free? Again, there's no line that we find in the New Testament that tells us how to do it, how to observe it. We see that the Sabbath is a gift. It's what we just read. It's for our benefit that we're to focus on grace. That's why we're saved. Not because we keep this law or that law. It's because God loves us and he has saved us. And through grace and through faith, he's opened up our heart, opened up our eyes. And now we live in such a way because we love him and we want to live right and we want to do well. And so that's what changes our hearts. And what guides our life. But we see that there's still a benefit of the Sabbath. Nowhere do we find the Sabbath is no longer exist, and nowhere do we find that you will live according to this way on the Sabbath day. But what he does see, again, is still present, and what with the scriptures that we just read, is that, hey, be convinced. What conviction has the Holy Spirit brought into your life? I mean, think about it. If it's a day that we have to do, what do with our first responders, our police officers, our firemen, our nurses, our doctors, and different things? They still have to work on the day because we need those things. But we still need a Sabbath. We still and let me talk more about that. William Biloxi, it's not a place, it's a name, but he observed that the Sabbath is God's special present to the working man. One of its chief objects is to prolong life, and he even called it the savings bank of human that the savings bank of human existence is a weekly Sabbath, and so consider who God is, and as we're bringing it to an end and giving you a lot quickly. Consider who God is when it comes to the Sabbath. I still really haven't answered straightly because there is no straight answer in the scripture. But consider who God is. And we've studied the names before. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is the God who heals us. And oftentimes we think of God who heals us as, oh, Lord, I'm hurt, I'm sick, I have this need, please heal me. But when we study the scriptures, especially there in the books of Moses, when they talk about Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals us, we see that he puts things in place for us to prevent us from getting sick in the first place. I mean, washing hands up to 150 years ago, surgeons didn't know to wash their hands before they did surgery on somebody. We didn't know about germs and different things, but we find that he gives that in scripture about washing hands, about dietary rules, about different things, and where he told to, you know, to don't touch or cleanse yourself after this, or it's going to be so many days. All those things was Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals us, setting things into motion to keep us from getting sick in the first place. And so consider with me what the lack of rest causes us. Heart disease, heart attack, irregular heartbeat, the high blood pressure, stroke, diabetes, depression, obesity, struggle with your thinking. confession time, forgetfulness, wrinkles. It causes your skin to age faster and increases your risk of death. And so a Sabbath, where there isn't a law that if you don't do this, then you are disobedient and you're going to go to hell or anything like that. But we do see that Jesus leaves it in place, and he says clearly that a Sabbath is for man, not man for the Sabbath. And so what that means for me, and the other scriptures that we just read is that we got to be convinced on how we use this day and how we honor this day. And I've shared with you before, and I know I shared with the men, at least in one of our small groups, is that it was August of 2013. I met with Al Butler. He was the pastor of Myrtle Grove. He was the pastor that led their church to plant this church. And I was trying to meet with him to see what the vision of this church was when it planted and when it was planted. And I wanted to find out what that vision was, pray through it, and see how we can pursue that vision. But in that conversation, if you know Al Butler, Dr. Butler, more respectfully, He was very active. He played tennis. He was like 80-something, wasn't he? And he's still playing tennis. And all in that, he just wouldn't answer my question, where I'm convinced there was really no vision when this church was planted. And we've prayed through that. We've repented of that. I'm not saying anything bad about him. But what he did in the midst of that, he's kept coming back to me about taking care of myself, taking care of myself, taking care of myself. And in the midst of that, the Holy Spirit brought a conviction in my life, or a confirmation in that discussion, where I went home, wrote it in my journal. It was powerful, where he said, if you don't take care of yourself, you will not be able to complete the journey that I have for you. And so in the midst of that, I began to wrestle with different things, and I've been disobedient for so many years. And how interesting it is that this is the anniversary of, if you remember, last year on this day was the 13th Sunday, when we had a brunch, and we had a... we would have an answer and question time about the 12 weeks about discipleship. Before that, remember, a year ago, I didn't show up because I was in the hospital. First time I've ever been put in the hospital. And they couldn't find anything wrong. And 3 months before that, I had gone through, finished seminary, and at a time that I should be celebrating because I'd finished seminary, I was literally... not physically, but everything else, just on my hands and knees, just wanting to breathe. And so I believe from what God has put on my heart and what we have read in scriptures, that a Sabbath is necessary. And in that, he has put on my heart, really show me that we are, and we talked about the Sunday or Wednesday night in studying life, what is full life, what is new life, that we are spirit and we are flesh. We are the physical and we are spirit. And he's made me aware of this, that we have to take care of the physical so the soul can complete what God has for us to do in this world. You, as the church of God, the followers of Christ, the disciples that he'll call us throughout Scripture, Christians were made up later by people. We're always called disciples. We're called followers of Christ, that we have an ability to impact this world. We are in the age of grace, the age of the church, and we are the ones that are going to carry out the gospel and carry out the grace and carry out the Holy Spirit to the world. And if we do not take care of ourselves, we will not be able to complete the things that God has for you. You have so much more than just showing up on this day and worshiping. We are a people that need to find that day of rest. I mean, just think about it, of what rest does. Well, there's a story. You've heard the story, I'm sure, that there's a young man, a young lumberjack that was hired, and he wanted a job. And so the foreman said, "Hey, you just show me what you got today, and we'll see." And he goes, and the young lumberjack is chopping down more trees than all the other folks, and he gets the job. He said, "You worked really hard, and I appreciate the work. Yeah, you got the job." And so then the next day he comes and he's chopping. Then the foreman comes and says, "Hey, I'm going to have to let you go." He say, "Why? I'm working just as hard as I have in the past, and I've been here. I'm chopping away." But the reality is, he chopped down less trees because he failed to sharpen his axe. That's what rest is. That's what Sabbath is. It's a time, not only do we rest and take care of ourselves, and it's so much more about resting, but we also find out that it's about reverent worship. Think about Matthew 6:33. When we seek first the kingdom of God, everything takes care of its place. So when it comes to us, when it comes to me, we find out that the Sabbath and the way we observe it, in the passages that we just read, in the writings of Paul in Romans 14 and in Colossians 2 and in Acts 15, we see that the Sabbath is important. It is no longer a law. It is no longer something that you have to do in the way that I do it, but we all need to come to a place that we have dealt with the Sabbath and how we're going to observe it. How are we going to worship the Lord? How are we going to take care of ourselves so we can complete the work that He has for us? Because you all have a spiritual gift. If you're a follower of Christ, you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, and you've been given a spiritual gift for the purpose of edifying the church. That is Scripture. That's not my opinion. And when the lack of Sabbath in our life begins to affect the mission of the church and the worship in our life, then I think maybe we have gotten into a place of sin. But we do know from Scripture we all have to deal with the reality of a loving God who has said, take care of yourself. I've given you a day. I need you to find a day to have a place of rest and reverent worship. And so, in our big idea today, it says Sabbath, then comma, so that's kind of putting it into a definition, as rest and reverent reflection. Reverent reflection is just a two-word way of saying worship, okay? That there should be a day where we're just, God, thank you. God, help me. Hopefully you've been in the Word of God several days during the week, if not every day. And but the Sabbath, as rest and reverent reflection, is still essential for a person to live a wise, rich, and purposeful life. Are we going to stone people to death because they're picking up firewood on a Sunday? Absolutely not. But hopefully because He is God, because He loves us, and because we are moving more into the image of Jesus Christ, that we, being men, would observe that which He gave us so we can be more like Him.